105.7 CFW.
Chippewa Valley.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
Cases of sex trafficking and forced labor trafficking are rampant.
One emergency room physician says these victims can be spotted if medical personnel know the signs to look for when treating ER patients.
Cases that I've seen in my own emergency department are trafficked in many different types of work. The landscaper, the nurse, restaurant workers, right in front of our eyes and often hiding in plain sight.
Then, the pandemic not only gave a boost to remote workers, but job opportunities for the disabled have remained substantially higher.
Some employers created accommodation policies for the first time, and others expanded their accommodation policies as a result of COVID.
Those two stories and more are ahead on this week's InfoTrack, right after this.
Hey, pet parents. With Progressive's collision coverage, you get extra protection for your cat or dog, because there's nothing worse than seeing your pet hurt.
Like when you see their face after accidentally stepping on their tail, and you say, "I'm so sorry, Mr. Pickles." But as you kiss his nose and rub his little belly welly, you know Mr. Pickles is thinking, "You betrayed me."
Anywho, Progressive pays up to $1,000 in vet bills if your pet is injured in an auto accident. Learn more at Progressive.com and watch where you step. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Collision coverage subject to policy terms. Not available in all states.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
One place where it's possible for medical personnel to identify victims of sex and forced labor trafficking is the emergency room. InfoTrack's Roy Mackey spoke with an ER physician to learn more. Roy?
Thank you, Chris. Hani Stoklosa, MD, is an assistant professor of emergency medicine at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. She's a national expert on human trafficking, and in 2013, she co-founded Heal Trafficking, dedicated to ending human trafficking and supporting its survivors from a healthcare perspective. Dr. Stoklosa, let's start with a broad view of human trafficking. I think most people picture forced prostitution when they hear the term, but can you tell us what else it entails and why this is such a serious problem?
You're exactly right. What the average person thinks of when we think of trafficking does not match all of the experiences of what trafficking looks like in the United States. Trafficking is a crime in which someone is exploited for their labor, including for a commercial sex act. And they're so afraid, or they're actually forbidden from leaving that situation, and the trafficker is profiting off of them, that they're essentially trapped. It might be that they're being threatened themselves, and it might be that their family is being threatened. It may be that they're told, you can't leave this situation until you pay me $1 million. Traffickers will also use coercing somebody with acts of love and kindness and then kind of Jekyll and Hyde on their victims and the next day be really, really violent. We see trafficking of people that are born in the United States, folks that grow up in the foster care system that are exploited for commercial sex. Cases that I've seen in my own emergency department are a Guatemalan man that was trafficked as a landscaper, a Filipino woman who was trafficked as a nurse, Brazilian restaurant workers. These are all different sort of folks that are trafficked in many different types of work right in front of our eyes and often hiding in plain sight. So there's lots of ways in which this looks and appears. in the United States.
Is this problem getting better or worse?
The statistics on trafficking, if we start there, are really hard to come by. We're talking about a clandestine hidden crime by design. And each estimate that comes out on a global scale, I think, gives us a better understanding of the ways in which traffickers are exploiting people. But we simply don't know the answer to that question. When you think about, is it getting better or worse? The conditions of our society in general have made people even more and more at risk for trafficking than ever before. The COVID pandemic really put a magnifying lens on vulnerabilities like homelessness, socioeconomic debts. And so we see post-COVID in particular so much more vulnerability to trafficking that I would be surprised if the numbers aren't going up, unfortunately.
And we should note that this problem is not confined just to the United States, right?
Exactly. This is something that happens within every town and city in the United States and also happens in, unfortunately, every country globally.
So let's talk about your efforts to combat human trafficking via the healthcare profession. What role should doctors and nurses and other healthcare professionals play in detecting human trafficking and then in helping the victims find a path out?
Healthcare workers can make such a difference for trafficking victims, and many of them just don't even realize it. Every day, trafficking victims are coming through the doors of hospitals and clinics. We know that. And doctors and nurses can literally save lives by picking up on the signs of trafficking, that pattern recognition, using their well-honed clinical skills. And going back to the examples that I shared of victims that I've seen, a Brazilian restaurant worker that has an oil burn from a kitchen mishap, and the burn happened, you know, a week ago, and now it's really, really infected and spread to the rest of their body. That's not common. Usually when somebody has a significant burn, they come in right away, right? So that delay in care would be concerning. Or the Filipino nurse that I talked about actually was pregnant and didn't have any prenatal care, and there was somebody that came in with them to the emergency department who wasn't leaving her side. And so these are just some examples to share, but noticing these signs and noticing these patterns of, something's not right. I really need to trust my spidey sense here. Health professionals can pick up on those signs and make a huge difference in helping victims of trafficking get out of that situation.
Are there special challenges that survivors of human trafficking face when seeking healthcare?
Yeah. Traffickers will control every inch of their victims' lives, and that takes different forms. And so some victims of trafficking, if they need to have medical care in order to be able to continue to make profit for their trafficker, which just sounds awful to say, but let's say they get injured at work, the trafficker may bring them to healthcare, but will stay by their side and kind of dictate all the care, or quote unquote, kind of provide interpretation. So while they're brought to healthcare, there may be that delay because it's not until they're at death's door and they're less useful to their trafficker. And then when they access healthcare, there may be these controlling elements by a trafficker being there present themselves or one of their accomplices. So those are some of the ways in which trafficking victims have difficulty accessing healthcare in the ways that others would, but doesn't negate the fact that we absolutely can help them in those situations.
So you founded a program called Heal Trafficking. Can you explain what training and education initiatives Heal provides for healthcare professionals?
Yeah, so Heal Trafficking was founded now, as you mentioned, over 10 years ago. And this work really comes out of a personal calling for me. As my eyes were opened to trafficking as a newly minted emergency physician, I knew that if I was ignorant to the issue, how many other doctors and nurses around the globe, really, and certainly around the United States, we're in that same position of ignorance. And so core to our approach is making sure that health professionals, wherever they practice, whether they're at a small rural hospital in Montana or a large urban center in New Orleans, that every single health professional has the knowledge and skills to respond to human trafficking. And so the ways that we do this are through broad educational awareness and skills building, but also specific programs like our Train the Trainer, where we train people to then be that sort of ripple in the pond in their own communities and train others, other health professionals on trafficking. So it's been really exciting to see the impact as we look and see today versus 10 years ago before we were founded, how many more even states are having conversations around requiring health professionals to have education on trafficking because it's so, so important.
You just alluded to it a bit. Are there policy changes or legislative efforts that Heal Trafficking is advocating for to combat human trafficking?
Yeah, so we believe that health professionals should know how to, in a very patient, person-centered way, help people who are experiencing violence have the knowledge and resources that they need to get out of that situation, and really putting that power back in their patients' hands, and that includes trafficking. And so what I would say is that I would love a world where every state requires that all health professionals have the knowledge of all forms of violence, including human trafficking, and know how to provide care in a trauma-informed way.
What do you see as the biggest myth related to human trafficking?
There's a lot of myths that are out there. I think one of the first ones that comes to mind is just the fact that someone can be trafficked in their own home. The word trafficking sounds like movement, right? But the reality is that some people are even trafficked by their own family members. I've seen cases where a mom was fleeing like a domestic violence situation, and the only way to be able to provide a roof over her head was to actually have the landlord of the new place sleep with her daughter, making these awful, awful decisions. But that happened within somebody's own home. And so the media kind of shows us that it always involves international borders, and certainly that does happen, but it can happen right in one's own community, and then one can be trafficked, unfortunately, in one's own home.
Dr. Stoklosa, could you maybe share some success stories from the HEAL program?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, every day, HEAL and the health professionals that we train are planting seeds of hope among those who come to emergency departments or clinic and helping people out of situations of trafficking. And we've heard from the survivors that we've worked with over the years how it's really transformed their lives. Seeing those that are now even at that stage where they were in a trafficking situation, and today they're training health professionals about how to better identify trafficking. I think this can sound like a really overwhelming topic, and it's a really important, awful phenomenon that's happening in the United States, but it is something that we as health professionals can have an impact and do save lives.
Hani Stoklosa, MD, from Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, and her organization called Heal Trafficking, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
Next, more job opportunities for the disabled. That story, coming up.
Stick around, there's more InfoTrack straight ahead.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you, with Allstate. And look at you, hands perfectly placed on the wheel. Not like the driver to the right of you who's really going after that drum solo. Save with DriveWise in the Allstate app and only pay a rate based on you.
Not available in every state, subject to terms and conditions. Rating factors and savings vary, and in some states your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Go ahead, feel your engine. Admire that perfectly installed exhaust. Your vehicle's moving along this freeway like it was made from fresh installs and a whole lot of love. With eBay Motors, you get over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist, clinically proven to open airways quickly.
It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
There have been significant shifts in the employment landscape for people with disabilities during and after the COVID-19 pandemic. And here to discuss this is John O'Neill, PhD, from the Kessler Foundation, a nonprofit organization that advocates for opportunities for employment for people with disabilities. John, how have employer attitudes toward hiring and accommodating people with disabilities changed in recent years?
Employers' attitudes towards hiring people with disabilities, we believe, has changed to some degree because of COVID. We believe that they responded by increasing their efforts to provide accommodations because many of their employees were coming down with COVID and they were known individuals to those employers and the employers wanted to keep them. So we believe that there were more accommodations that were being given. Some employers created accommodation policies for the first time, and others expanded their accommodation policies, we believe, as a result of COVID. Also, there were more employers that were establishing the Centralized Accommodation Fund, which allowed supervisors more freedom in terms of hiring and accommodating people with disabilities because then the supervisors didn't have to draw from their own budgets in order to provide accommodations. They could ask their employer if they could use the Centralized Accommodation Fund.
How sustainable are these gains in employment for those with disabilities as the pandemic goes further and further into the past?
Well, it seems as though they should be somewhat sustainable simply because once you have a policy in place and you're using it for your current employees and new employees and you're finding it successful, I would expect that there would be some sustainability. We'll have to see as time goes by. We do have the Bureau of Labor Statistics that has shown a meaningful increase in the proportion of people with disabilities that are employed. That happened during the COVID period, and we'll be able to track that and have a sense as to whether these practices have been maintained.
Looking at office occupancy rates, those seem to be plunging. Employers are giving up their office spaces. What do you think this suggests about the future of remote work?
Well, I think remote work is going to be much more prevalent. It won't be ubiquitous because there are many business sectors where you can't work remotely. You have to be there in person in order to get the job done. However, I think some employers will use remote work flexibly. It won't be 100% of the time, but they'll use it more in a targeted way to kind of mix remote and non-remote work. We're actually doing that at the foundation. We're doing a lot more work, but not everything can be done remotely.
Our guest is John O'Neill, PhD, from the Kessler Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization advocating for opportunities for employment for people with disabilities. John, were there any positive signs before the pandemic that might support continued employment gains for people with disabilities?
Well, yes. The Bureau of Labor Statistics has only had disability questions in their monthly survey that they do since 2008, just as the Great Recession was hitting us. And there were major decreases in employment for people with and without disabilities. However, people with disabilities were slower to recover than those without disabilities. But there was a period of time in 2016-17 when the employment rate went up for people with disabilities and the gap in the employment rate between those with and without disabilities was narrowing. and that was a good sign. And then it sort of leveled off, the rate of employment amongst people with disabilities, until COVID hit. There was a precipitous drop in employment for both those with and without disabilities as the shutdown occurred. And then there was a very rapid increase in the employment rate for people with disabilities, much more rapid return to work amongst people with disabilities, and they actually outdid their historical highs. So since the Great Recession, it feels like there's an upswing, and all we can do is hope that that continues.
Do you have any findings on the types of disabilities that were best affected by these changes?
There were some good stories during the COVID recovery, and there were some stories that stayed about the same. For example, the good story was that women with disabilities caught up to men with disabilities in terms of their employment rate during the COVID period, whereas that didn't happen for people without disabilities. There was a steady gap between the employment rates amongst men and women without disabilities. There were some continued stories that were a little disappointing. For example, African Americans. Historically, since 2008, there was a lower employment rate amongst African Americans with disabilities compared to whites. And their pattern of recovery was pretty much the same, but there remained a big gap between African Americans and whites with disabilities. And among Hispanics, during the COVID rebound, Hispanic employment rates were very similar. Those with disabilities became very close to, and in some cases overlapped with, non-Hispanics with disabilities.
Well, as we wrap this up, if one of our listeners or any of our listeners would like to get involved or support initiatives to promote employment for people with disabilities, what suggestions might you have for those listeners?
I would encourage employers to reach out to disability organizations in their communities. In many, many communities, there are a lot of programs that are designed to improve the employment rate for people with disabilities. And if employers can connect with those organizations and begin to build relationships, that would be a real plus.
John O'Neill, PhD from the Kessler Foundation, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
Not to brag, but Progressive's Name Your Price tool is mankind's greatest tool ever. Even better than the wheel. Sure, without the wheel, we wouldn't have modern transportation or funny videos of dogs riding skateboards. But without the Name Your Price tool, we wouldn't have easy access to auto insurance options based on our budget. And, well, cars do need wheels. They also need insurance, and insurance never goes flat. Learn more about the greatest tool ever, the Name Your Price tool, at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to InfoTrack. To learn more about our guests or listen to past shows, visit InfoTrack online at InfoTrackRadio.com. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Upscale urban areas are not only nice places for the citizens who live there. These gentrified areas also attract wildlife populations. Here with the story, InfoTrack's Gina Tedesco. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us now is Mason Fedino, quantitative ecologist at Lincoln Park Zoo in Chicago and lead author on the study. Dr. Fedino, before we get into the detailed results of the study, isn't it true that certain urban wildlife actually bring benefits to all of us two-legged creatures?
Oh, absolutely. And this goes well beyond just even urban wildlife. Species can provide so many different types of, I believe what you're kind of talking about here is ecosystem services. They can do things that benefit people. And this can be both monetarily, think about animals providing pollination services, but also it can just be, you know, providing mental health benefits. We've seen a huge magnitude of songbirds, things like that can be good for people. But yeah, whether it be the animals in your backyard or animals in the far off parts of the world, they can provide ecosystem services and benefits to humans.
So now as to the study, first of all, please tell us how you are defining gentrified areas.
Gentrification is the process of neighborhood change, a neighborhood that has not seen much growth in it and there are under-resourced residents living in it. And then over time, white, more educated, higher income residents move in and displace those people living there.
And the study found that gentrified areas on average have 13% more species than comparable ungentrified areas in the same city. So do we know why gentrified areas have a larger total of different species of wildlife?
Well, we don't know the exact causal mechanisms behind this, but what we posit in this study is that essentially people are having more resources, and this could just be things like time and money, can facilitate greening at the residential parcel level, which can scale up to enhance neighborhood wildlife habitat. What this also does is that it can benefit people as well, too. The big issue then is that the residents that have been displaced over time, that means that they don't have access to these types of positive benefits, this urban greening, because they've been removed from the area.
So let's get back to the residents who were displaced during gentrification. How might they be able to substitute some other life experience, maybe engagement with trees, for instance, to help maybe offset the negative effects of not being able to see or even interact with urban wildlife?
Oh, well, I wouldn't even necessarily say that, like, you know, seeing urban wildlife is the benefit in and of itself. I don't know if you've ever lived with a raccoon in your backyard, for example, but you may not necessarily have the most positive things to say about it, given some aspects of their natural history and, you know, their willingness to get into your garbage or attic, et cetera, et cetera. What we're really focusing on here is that, you know, when we're seeing these changes in species richness, these changes in community composition of wildlife, things like that, what's really important to take away is that, you know, when we're seeing these changes in the wildlife community, it's hinting at that there's pretty dramatic changes in the local environment that these species are catching on to. It's easier for us as people that are setting up motion trigger trail cameras and things like that to understand urban biodiversity, to track the actors at the end than to try to quantify the change in the local environment, because that can be really difficult to do. So with this study, we're seeing these increases in species. It's not necessarily about, oh, you can go out to a city park instead or something like that to try to get connection to nature. It's more so that in these locations now where these people just don't have access to improved qualities that even like raccoons and opossums are keying in on.
So what do you believe urban planners should do as they consider the livability of these areas?
From this study, we definitely found that there are inequities that occur. There are these big social ecological disparities that can happen as a function of just people moving about the landscape. And so to address these types of issues, I think it's really important for us to update land development and management policies and even provide legal mechanisms to prioritize social equity. I mean, this is no uneasy task. We need to essentially uncouple things like urban green space development as an essential component of city maintenance than an economic development strategy. We really need to be focused on equity because having unequal access to nature can cause issues. It's not just a sad thing that happens. It can have negative physical health benefits and mental health benefits. And so these are issues that can deal with humans' quality of life. And so I think it's imperative that we try to address these issues.
Dr. Mason Fedino of Lincoln Park Zoo, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
That wraps up another edition of InfoTrack. Our executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm your host, Chris Whitting, inviting you to join us next week for another edition of InfoTrack.
This is 105.7 CFW. CFW. I try to discover.
7 CFW streaming 24/7 on the free Civic Media app.
Oh, times have you been at work listening to some local radio station and you nod off?
Could be dangerous. Could even get you fired.
Wait, what happened?
Well, have we got the solution for you?
We designed 105.7 CFW so you can listen to it all day long. This is the Valley's fun music, and that means no falling asleep.
Wake up.
Toss that other station on the finished pile
and plan to spend your workday with us instead.
105.7 CFW.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
Progressive asks, what do an escaped leopard?
We're live from the zoo where a leopard has escaped.
A growling stomach, an uneaten tuna sandwich, and a backdoor doggy door have in common? They can lead to an unexpected kitchen renovation.
Yeah, hi. Is this the zoo? Your leopard is in my kitchen.
Bundle your home and auto with Progressive for great savings and round-the-clock protection.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Chippewa Valley weather.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see mostly sunny skies for your Sunday and a chance of some showers or storms in the late afternoon. Highs in the lower 80s and south winds. Overnight showers and storms ending, mostly clear skies. Overnight lows will drop to the upper 40s. Right now, it's 51.
CFW. Wasting all my time. I guess you're
1057 CFW.
Love to keep hurting me. it's where the money comes. Oh, oh, she loves you. No, I want to be the only one. Oh, baby, understand that I want to be the only man. But it seems those come too hard, and I think I'll start to have my own fun. Baby, it's plain to see that you're qualified to fulfill your needs. You think you're pulling over on me? Well, honey, baby, just you wait and see. And we'll sing, oh, oh, Sheila, let me love you till the money comes. This one I say, oh, oh, Sheila, you know I want to be the only one. Baby, it's one, two, three. I love you, baby, honestly. I want to dee-da-dee-da-dee. I dee-da-dee-da-dee. Oh, oh, Sheila. Oh, Sheila. Oh, oh, Sheila. Oh, oh, Sheila. Oh, baby, love me right, let me love you till the dead of night. Why can't you let the others be? Cause with you is where I got to be. Yeah. Oh, baby, understand that I want to be the only man. You think you're pulling over on me? Well, honey, baby, just you wait and see. And we sing, oh. Oh, Sheila,